Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
South Africa has once again offered to play a role of mediator, and I am putting on a very serious voice when I say it, just so you think that I'm being serious, which of course I really am. They are offering to play a role of a mediator in the escalating Middle East conflict. Government says it is ready to help negotiate peace, well, as long as it's asked, but there are those who argue that Pretoria's foreign policy positions and alliances may make that role just a little bit difficult to sustain. All right, so you know my view. I am biased. I think they're a bunch of idiots, to be honest. I can't pretend otherwise for the sake of I don't know what. But let's talk to somebody who probably shares my opinion, but at least does it with a little bit of a distance, I don't know, and something. Joel Pollack, he's actually a South African-born journalist, a political commentator based in the United States. Joel is the opinion editor at California Post. Joel, a very, very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. Hope you're well.
Good to be with you.
It is nice to chat to you so early in the morning or late at night for you. Right, so now we're going to say it with absolute earnestness. South Africa says it is ready to mediate the Middle East conflict. From the outside looking in, does Pretoria have the ability, neutrality, and credibility to do so?
No, and it's not even clear why they've made this offer. The United States is determined to change the geopolitical situation that exists in the Middle East and that extends to China and Russia. You know, if you take a step back and you look at the current war, it's not just about Iran and Israel, or it's not just about Iran and the Arab countries even. It's really about the balance of power globally, and Iran is a very important ally for China. It supplies almost all of its oil to China because it can't sell it on the open market because of sanctions. Mm-hmm. At the same time, it also provides Russia with drones. So if you remove the Iranian regime, suddenly Russia doesn't have drones and it has to negotiate with the Ukrainians. And suddenly China doesn't have access to abundant Middle Eastern oil that it can get cheaply because it's not sellable anywhere else. And suddenly you've got a world that is a little bit more amenable to peace, commerce, and freedom. And I think that's the real end game here.
And I would argue that perhaps this impacts in a different way on South Africa, losing an ally like Iran, whatever that brought. And there's still always a lot of speculation around that. But if South Africa loses an ally like Iran, it also puts it in a different type of South Africa.
Was Iran really an ally of South Africa?
Well, no. I was just going to say it's not certainly not an ally of South Africa, an ally of the ANC rather. Which is the same party that's offered to mediate, and the same party that has no neutrality or credibility, really. So of course the fact that South Africa's been openly critical of Israel, while maintaining relations with countries like Iran and Russia. What is the perception of South Africa outside of the borders of this country?
I mean, South Africa has ceased to be a player in international affairs. I mean, it just has. And unfortunately, that seems to be the inevitable consequence of adopting a radically anti-Israel approach. It's emblematic of a broader problem with how the country thinks about itself and its place in the world. But South Africa, very early on in the game, took itself out of any kind of mediating role in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and really in other conflicts. I mean, it played something of an important role in the early years of the post-apartheid era when the ANC had connections with some rogue regimes and leaders like Muammar Gaddafi that other Western nations couldn't speak to. But South Africa really failed to grow its diplomatic presence because the ANC and really elite society in South Africa generally was wedded to a kind of solidarity with left-wing movements and the Soviet sphere of influence that has prevented it from really thinking pragmatically about its own interests and about the interests of the world. So South Africa has really gone down a path back toward isolation where it's one among many pariah states and nobody really thinks about it as a player in any way.
So it's very perplexing because I wonder to what extent statements like this are aimed at domestic political audiences, international political, rather than genuinely positioning South Africa as a mediator. Do you think this is a genuine offer?
No, what is there to mediate? There's nothing to mediate. The Iranians don't want any kind of agreement with the United States. Donald Trump wasn't looking for a war. Donald Trump was actually looking for some kind of a deal. But the Iranian regime refused to offer much in that sense. And now that the American administration has decided to go to war, there's nothing to mediate. There's simply going to be an American victory. Now, whether something can be rebuilt successfully in Iran in the aftermath is an open question. But Trump is determined to displace China and Russia. He sees that Iran essentially is unable to make any kind of a deal in its present configuration. So what is there to mediate? There's nothing to mediate. This is going to be a war. I mean, the United States has destroyed the Iranian Navy. It's going to destroy the Iranian missile stockpiles. It's going to destroy the Iranian nuclear program, which continued even after important components of it were destroyed last year. There's nothing to mediate. And China and Russia are also not interested in mediation. I mean, if Russia was interested in mediation, it would have reached a deal on Ukraine months ago.
Absolutely.
And likewise with China. China is simply looking for influence everywhere. It has no moral compass whatsoever. I mean, China chose to use Iran as a forward base, really, in the Middle East, when the Iranian regime is one of the most oppressive, murderous, terrorist-supporting regimes in the world. So these are not people interested in mediation. And so Donald Trump understands the landscape, and he's now determined to change it. And I think what we'll see, hopefully, when the dust settles, is that China and Russia have been displaced from their foothold in the region, that Russia is forced to deal with the Ukrainians, and that the Chinese are deterred from their geopolitical aggressive ambitions in the Western Pacific and elsewhere, because they understand that the United States and the West in general are prepared to show some resolve. You can't say that about all the Western countries. Great Britain has distinguished itself with a kind of cowardice in making clear it had nothing to do with
it. I think that so far the statement of the war is, you know, Churchill.
Right, exactly. Look, again, the jury is still out as to whether this is going to be successful or not. We know that some very ambitious ideas in the Middle East have founded on the difficulty of governing in a post-conflict society, which was a real challenge for the United States and for NATO generally in Afghanistan and also in Iraq. But Iran is a different story. It's a complex, deeply rooted civilization, and it may actually prove the exception to the pattern of chaos in the Middle East. But that's still several weeks or months away. And for now, we're going to basically watch as the United States has free reign in the skies above Iran and dismantles what's left of the Iranian military structure and perhaps creates a political opening for real freedom fighters in Iran, whom the ANC should be siding with, right?
Of course,
I think given the anti-apartheid experience, the ANC should be siding with the people in the streets, not with the regime that has been murdering them. But anyway, you can't really mediate with a regime that is determined to hold on to power at the cost of murdering tens of thousands of its own people. So I think it's for domestic political consumption. It basically presumes that the South African government is respected enough and powerful enough and important enough that someone would ask it to mediate. But in fact, that's not the case.
That said, how damaging is South Africa's policy internationally? In other words, I know that South Africa is no longer taken seriously as an international player, not since Durko went rogue, but is the South African government's behavior already discounted. In other words, if they make these silly comments and send a minister to their to join an Iranian regime celebration of 47 years of the since the revolution, is it still taken seriously, or is it completely ignored?
Well, it's ignored at best. I mean, at worst, it's going to go down with the regime. We may discover in the aftermath of the war that there are connections between the Iranian regime and the South African government that would prove quite embarrassing to the South African ruling party. I mean, why would the South African government have anything to do with the Iranian regime? And the answer that suggests itself is that if there are corrupt links between the two, so that may still emerge, and I think it would be deeply embarrassing to the South African government. And also, you really have to ask who's setting foreign policy in the South African government. It's coalition government, but why does it reflect the ANC's policy alone? Why are the other parties in the coalition not able to talk some sense into the ANC? Why are they not represented at all in the South African presence on the world stage? So it's an interesting question for South Africans to work out.
I think it's a very, very important question, and one that we need to be pushing a little bit more as part of the media here in South Africa, is why does this reflect the ANC? Now, we know that the ANC have very cleverly kept the South African National Defence Force and DIRCO out of the Government of National Unity's influence and only placed ANC ANC people within those departments, but there is a government of national unity that is standing by and watching our government destroy the country because of a very, very dangerous foreign policy. So I do think it's a question, and I think you've raised something very, very important that we're going to get onto, is to ask the coalition and to ask the members of the government of national unity what they are doing in order to prevent it. And I think that is, and to make it known how problematic this is. So I think that is definitely something that we should be doing. Just finally, if South Africa really did want to play a constructive role, what would it be?
It would be to side with the people of Iran against their government and provide some moral backbone to the international description of what's going on. I mean, the South African struggle was all about displacing a regime that had been in place for about half a century. You could see the parallels right away. So I think the South African government could play a role if it were to encourage the Iranian regime to surrender and to commit itself to a peaceful transition to democracy, which is what the apartheid regime did. I mean, the analogy suggests itself, but South African government's not interested. But that could be something positive.
That is where we leave it, Joel Pollack. Thank you, as always, talking to us from California, editor of the opinion editor at the California Post, Joel Pollack, and he is giving us his view and thoughts. What are yours? 061-895-1019. Roland says ANC mediation attempts probably is nothing more than the Iranian regime trying to use them as puppets and mouthpiece again, same as the case when taking Israel to the ICC. Fact is, no regime, no more ANC, FUTSAC, both of them. That is according to Roland. Roland, so spicy, so early. I like it. Anyway, good morning, Mayhem team. Thank you for that message about one of my comments. And then Karen says, sums it up, but scary as sirens go off. Karen's in Israel, and she is obviously living through a very significant time there. Karen, just keep safe and keep communicating. It is 6:28, taking a look at what is happening at West Park today. There is one funeral, and that is for the late Simon Glickman, and that funeral is taking place at 2:30 p.m. Funeral for the late Simon Glickman, that is taking place at 2:30 p.m.